This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Getting drinks. Cool. Yeah.
Oh, recording. I can see it now.
Yeah, that Titleist thing, it almost looks like one of those visors that has the hair attached to it that people wear.
I just got my hair cut. That's hilarious.
I think I got to put mine on since Matt's wearing his.
Yeah, white
visor.
Oh,
dude, I wish I had one.
The visor look is a lot different when you have hair. All right, everybody ready to rock? Thumbs up.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Start. The. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha! The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
All right, so welcome everybody back to the latest episode of the Home Edition to the podcast. As always, I'll be your host, the Ted Smith. Actually, he's to the bottom of me today on the Zoom call. His name is Cobb. Cobb, what's up, man?
Hola, amigos. Thank you for listening. I hope your week is going well. And actually, that's about all I got. Honestly, I'm thriving this week.
All right, getting everything set up and recording and rocking his visor. Matt Comer, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt? Ted? So I don't know if we talked about, did we talk about the white visors last week? A little bit.
Not as far as I know.
We've been talking about them on the Friday night Zoom. So, like, Matt's been rocking his. He's golfing. I'm just always like, yeah, I just feel like a college football coach when I wear mine.
Yeah, you need that and the rain slicker. That combo is killer.
Yeah, you really do. And then you had your friend that's a coach on that one night.
Oh, yeah, Alex, I know. He put on a blue one with, like, with literally Cobb, which you're talking about. My buddy Alex, he's the coach at DeMatha. So you put on the DeMatha visor and then, like, the lightweight pullover that's, like, short sleeve.
Oh, yeah, that's perfect.
But then, like, after a while, it was just him in there. And I think finally he went, yeah, I feel like a jackass now. I'm just dressed up like a coach. Because at that point, there's, like, 15 people in the room. Nobody's really getting the joke.
Ted, were you and I at a Halloween party where someone was dressed as Pete Carroll?
Yeah.
You and I with the silver hair. Whoever that girl was had the best costume I've seen in a long time. She was in the, like, in the character all night. Who was it? What were we doing?
I remember who threw the party, and I'll leave their name out of it because I don't know who the friend is. But the thing is that, number one, is that her Pete Carroll costume was so on point. And Matt, she kept doing like, hands on the knees, like chewing the gum.
Yeah.
But also, two things were funny about that. Number one, Pete Carroll is actually a cute chick. So it's like, I know she's Pete Carroll, but she's still like, still kind of attracted to Pete Carroll. Yeah. And then number two is, I don't know what happened, but by the end of the night, when we were leaving to go to a bar, like Pete Carroll was having a sit, like a sit down by themselves in the kitchen, kind of going through something. And I was like, I'm going to leave Pete Carroll alone. Coach Carroll looks like he's working through something mentally.
Well, dude, and I saw Pete Carroll hitting people with, like, early in the party, like, with legit, like, coaching slash pump-up speeches. Like, all right, everybody on the couch, listen up. Heads in, let's go.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Coach, not that I've ever done this, but Coach Carroll may have arced a little early in the evening.
Yeah. Yeah, the star that burned too bright, huh?
I mean, look, I've seen it a million times, especially at a Halloween party.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that was the same night that we ended up at a bar and it was packed. And then at a certain point, I dipped out. And I want to say there was a massive fight on Lower Queen Anne that night.
Oh, what?
Because I think you called me and were like, dude, you just missed this crazy brawl on the street.
Oh, man. You know what's funny? I don't even remember. I don't even remember what party we were at or where. I just remember a great Pete Carroll costume. Oh, you know what? I think I just remembered who it was. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Now that I think about it, I'm like, damn, Kyle, we have been to a lot of Halloween. I mean, we go to the same Halloween party every year, but like, we've been to a few parties, and then you throw in festivals and like, we've worn a lot of costumes.
Yeah. Events where people are in costume. Almost unparalleled. Like, as far as, I don't think I've been to more costume parties with any other friend. You and I have worn a lot of different hats, let's say. A lot of different visors. There we go.
A lot of different visors. let's see. Matt, you're still down in Palm Springs?
Sure am. Loving it.
Excellent. Yeah, so I guess we should give people an update on the CHOP. I don't know. Seems like it's fizzling out. There was another shooting up there, which obviously isn't good. Someone ended up dead. And then I saw this morning the city was moving some of the barricades, but then some of the people moved stuff back. They said trying to protect the Black Lives Matter written on the street. So, I don't know. I will say this. The neighborhood has been a lot more quiet, which sounds weird. Like, that's everything that bad happens up there happens at, like, 2 in the morning. But just overall, like, the streets have been super quiet.
Yeah, last week I heard somebody just popping off rounds outside my apartment, and apparently somebody was shot a half a block up and across the street from my place, so right there. And, you know, just, I don't know if you've heard it enough, like there's just such a distinction between gunfire and fireworks, and there's been a lot of fireworks going up. As soon as I heard that, I turned off my lights, looked out, and kind of watched the aftermath. I couldn't see the person who got hit, but I saw everybody running. And now I'm down in just outside of Salt Lake City in Park City, Utah. And so what I heard today through the grapevine was that SPD went in hard this morning. And on Friday, they had tried to go in hard. Ted, you know that news helicopter that's been circling over our houses? I heard them. Yeah, I heard that at 6 a.m. So I was like, I got nothing going on. I have the day off. I'm going to walk over and see what's going on. So I rolled over there, and the city had probably 12 municipal transport vehicles. I don't know what's their it's not the Washington Highway, but I don't know, whoever does all the municipal road work and stuff for the city. So they had like 12 vehicles lined up ready to go and about 4 SUVs full of cops, but you know, it became pretty confrontational, and I think they just decided to bail on it. So what I had heard is that they went in again this morning, and I don't know really what happened after that.
Yeah, I didn't see too much about the cops going in this morning. I definitely saw that they moved a bunch of the barriers out, which, again, for the record, the city had put the barriers in there and tried to make the one-way traffic. I mean, that whole thing up there is so confusing. Because now it's like, you got to get them out. And it's like, well, you guys put them in. So they moved a bunch of them out. But honestly, it seems like the people left up there are very small group.
And the neighborhood is over it. I'll say that. I feel like I've heard a lot from my neighbors and seen a lot of things online where people are just like, look, at this point, it's distracting from the Black Lives Matter agenda. There's a ton of crime. There's been a couple rapes, a couple businesses broken into. They're like, you know, you're giving the conservative right all the evidence they need that you can't reduce the police force. And so it's pretty... what's that word? It's like not counterproductive, but like, I don't know, counter to your goal.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what I've been telling people too, is like I'm with you. Number one, I think the neighborhood's kind of over it. And then number two is that like, look, I stand by the statements I made early on. Like it was chill and stuff. But after like 2 weeks, it seemed like it just, like this was before any of the shootings. Like it seemed like the message was getting lost, period.
Oh yeah. And the energy changed too. It's like, you know, it's a little more unsettling to walk through that park now. It feels more dangerous.
Yeah. Seems like a long time. Jesus Christ. I will say this. Everything the last 3 months just takes forever.
Oh God, I know. Here's the thing, Ted, we made it to summer officially. I know the weather's about to turn good in Seattle. I'm about to be back up there. We're about to hit 4th of July. We're not even eating hot dogs out of your office this year. So, you know, things are looking up, man.
I'm going to be actually in somebody's backyard, and they're going to be grilling food. I am.
Oh, that's huge.
I'm beyond excited. It's like eight people, and it's like he's been stuck in because he's been working at home. So he redid his whole backyard with, like, what do you call those decks? It looks like wood, but it's like plastic or something.
Trex?
Trex. So he put in a new one of those, like a fire pit. I was like, man, count me in.
Yeah, those things are legit.
Plus, honestly, outside of going over to Mike Hawk's house one day in Issaquah, like, I'm like, I got to get the hell out of the city. Even if it's just, I mean, it's close because it's just renting. But I'm just like, I got to go do something. And yeah, it's nice to have, like, a Saturday afternoon goal that's not just a Zoom call.
Yeah, and that's not just, like, go to the store, pick up groceries, get a new mask, get some hand sanitizer. Maybe, I wonder if people listening to this have felt like we're just crazy being that quarantined. And now, you know, in other states, they're starting to see that spike. And maybe we don't look as insane. I don't know. Or maybe we look worse.
Yeah, I mean, look, Texas and Florida look pretty bad right now. They were like, hey, we're open, no rules. Like, and now they're like rolling back phases.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, so we drove down here from Seattle down to Utah, and in Utah, in Ogden, nobody was wearing a mask. I went to the gas station. They definitely thought I was out of my mind. And I looked the part of, like, you know, yuppie Seattle douchebag probably. But the thing is, like, their cases are spiking too. And they're, you know, like, masks are still frowned upon. So that's what I mean. It's become a quasi-political, like, a politicized, like, article of clothing. I mean, I've seen, like, yeah, a few people post about, you know, the various sides of the issue, I guess I should say.
I just think the wearing of the mask, first of all, like, again, there was a lot of things when this all started, right? Like, I don't know how they came up with 6 feet, but that's what we're doing, right? I don't know how you came up with groups of this much or less. And the mask thing, like, I get it. At first, they said, you don't have to. And, like, at this point, like, just wear the mask. I mean, if that's the biggest inconvenience and that is something taken away from your quote-unquote rights and freedom, like, you're living a damn good life.
Dad, you know? I disagree, man. 6 feet, 666, that's the devil's number, man. That's conspiracy right there. No, dude, I'm with you. The science at this point, I would say, is undeniable. But at the minimum, at the absolute minimum, just wearing it in case you have it and you don't want to transfer to someone else. I mean, because shockingly, there are a lot of people who are not on board with the masks because they feel like it's the government muzzling them, telling them what to do, et cetera, et cetera. But think about it just as an act of courtesy. And so many people are like, I don't care if I get the corona. It's like, hey, listen, dick, it's not you we're worried about. It's your 81-year-old neighbor who's going to touch the door handle after you, you know? And here's the thing. I think about how inconvenienced people have been over time, i.e. Russia, former Soviet Union, bring in all your gold and give it to us to contribute to the war effort, you know, or all the Japanese in the U.S. they don't like to talk about being, like, basically moved out of cities on the West Coast and locked up, and they suffered, and many of them are still here and still Americans. And so it's like, to put a piece of cloth over your face? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Well, I think they were technically, like, relocation camps or something. They had some weird euphemism. Somebody listening to this will know, but they weren't, it, like, wasn't internment. Or, no, maybe internment is the one they used it because it wasn't a detention camp. I don't know. Either way, it's just like, man, like, what a minor inconvenience. If they're completely wrong, how much were you even inconvenienced? And if they're right and you didn't wear one, you look like a real prick.
Right, that's my issue, too. It's like, all right, so worst case scenario is everybody that doesn't like them gets to make fun of me and people like, and like, see, I told you. Like, okay. But I, for the life of me, I'm still like, what is the big freaking deal? I mean, especially when you have all the protests going on that are talking about real issues in the country and stuff, and we're arguing about masks. I mean, have you seen what's going on out in Yakima County? I mean, they have...
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, like, and all of a sudden, I mean, we're guilty of this, like, you know, talking about things we don't know that much about. But, I mean, that is kind of the podcast. But that being said, like, you know, all of a sudden, everybody who has a Facebook account has a medical degree now. And they're like, masks don't work, this and that. I'm like, well, you know what? I'm pretty sure the guy with 3 PhDs from Johns Hopkins knows what the fuck he's talking about. Sorry, Matt's going to have to bleep that.
It's all good, dudes.
What were you saying, Ted?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've been wearing ours for a while. Like, to me, it's just pretty simple. It just seems like such a simple thing. And, like, look, I get it. If you're out for a run, you're not going to wear it. But, like, yeah, you go inside somewhere, just throw it on.
Yeah, I just keep it on me. And then I don't, yeah, most of the time I don't even wear it unless I'm walking close to someone on the sidewalk or I'm going into a store or someplace, you know, that's tight.
I mean, yeah, and like stuff is still weird, right? Like I've been to a couple restaurants that are spaced out and I'm like, cool, it's 25 to 50%, blah, blah, blah. But also like I'm still weirded out. Somebody invited me to like a big party at like the beach. And I was like, I know that I want to go hang out with like 30 people that I have otherwise would have no contact with.
And they're drinking.
Well, yeah, it's a beach party.
Well, yeah. And that's what I'm saying is I feel like even when we went, like I haven't high fived anybody. I haven't hugged anybody. And Ted, when we went for a drink, we were like, oh man, come on. Like, let's get that high five in. Fuck it. You know, sorry, Matt, that's two.
Dude, I shook two strangers' hands the other day after golf. We made friends. We got linked up. It's like a tradition, and we just went for it. I knew the bathroom with sanitizer, and I ended up having to go pee and wash my hands anyways. But like, I knew like I'm going right to a sink and with soap and sanitizer right there. They were cool guys, locals, and we just had a great day. So I was like,
oh, they were cool? Then yeah. I probably didn't have it. Here's the thing, though, man. Here's why it's so pernicious, is even when you went, you probably touched your genitals, then went and washed your hands, which means, like, it was still on there, and that's an orifice through which a virus could also come, you know? Pernicious, man.
Right. But, I mean, I will say this, like, I don't know, me and you saw each other, we shook hands or whatever, but also, like,
hell yeah.
So like, right, like slam ball, like you didn't shake those dudes' hands, but your hands are still touching the same ball that gets in, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing they say, like, you know, that surfaces don't transfer it very well, but you're still getting some of that. And like, we're still breathing near each other. But yeah, and yeah. Ted, that's why I was saying hell yeah, is like you and I shouldn't have shook hands, but because alcohol was involved, we were like four drinks deep. And we're like, you know what, man, let's get that high five in, baby. Like old times. Like 2019, and we did, dude. It was like that one, you know, dude, I don't even know what the movie is. It's like some military movie. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger, that other guy, and they're like, ah!
Oh, yeah, like, I use that one all the time, that meme.
What is that? What's that from?
It's got to be from Predator, right?
Yeah, probably.
The original Predator, because I think the, because it's, what is his? I can't remember the actor's name. He's also Apollo Creed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's basically like an arm wrestling start type, like high five, and they just grip each other's hand and like, ah.
It's just funny that like you were describing, like I felt like such a rebel shaking someone's hand after 18 holes of golf. Like arguably one of the more like stuffy kind of distinguished like things that you do in sport. Like, oh, we're out of the golf course. We just finished. We shake hands. And, like, it's this big polite gesture that I've always been around. And I've never felt like more of a rebel, just, like, shaking some dude's hand after a round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have you had somebody try to hug you yet and you're just kind of, like, standing there? That's awkward.
No.
Yeah. Somebody, like, kind of, like, went in for, like, a half hug and I just kind of was standing there. And then it's, like, that off, like... Now it's even more awkward. Do I say to them, like, we're not really hugging? Trust me, it wasn't a friend of ours.
Ted, you're a hugger.
Trust me, I know.
When this stuff was first starting out, I was hanging out with my buddy, and, like, we were hanging out, playing Uno, smoking weed. It was like, before we realized how serious it was, and everything, it was just, like, I think we were about to go into the lockdown or whatever, and it wasn't. We weren't taking it super seriously, but, like, we had played Uno and smoked weed together out of the same pipe. And then at the end, I went to give him a hug, and he was, like, went in for the elbow bump. Like, pick a lane, bro.
Pick a lane.
Wow.
Yeah, I read an article today, too, that was – it's disappointing, but I think also it's good for people to hear. It was just talking about the mental aspect of COVID. So it was just saying, like, you have, like, the initial month of, like, kind of shock or whatever. And then there's, like, the honeymoon period. And, I'm paraphrasing, which was kind of the second month where it's like, you know what? The hell with this. Like, we're all in this together. We're going to figure it out. Blah, blah, blah. And then even without the protests and unrest going on, you just reach a point where, like, if we've talked about it, people are just mentally taxed.
Like, YOLO season.
Well, it's not that. It's just more people are kind of like I just did to you. People are quicker to attack somebody. It's not that, dude. I just proved the point. Yeah, so it was saying, like, this is the tough part. Like, try to stay mentally strong.
It is. It's tough to stay mentally strong, too, when you see people blatantly disobeying it and having fun. You know, I've seen guys playing pickup basketball and stuff, and I'm like, that looks fun to me, too. But I'm just like, you know, you got to do your part. But it's tough. It's a tough balance. Also with, like, you know, economic concerns for people, it's tough. Do they open their, you know, restaurant or do they not? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's insanity. And then, of course, like we were talking about, we literally have July 4th this weekend.
Oh, I know.
So, I mean, I'm specifically going someplace that's 10 and under and we'll be outside. I mean, I'll go inside to use the bathroom, but Matt, I have a feeling I know what you're going to be doing since you had invited me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be fun. I'll be back in the city, or I'll be back up in Seattle on the lake for the 4th. So looking forward to it.
That's huge.
Yeah, and it should be decent by the weekend, like mid-70s.
Oh, great. It's been 100 every day for the last month for me.
Oh, you and Tyler are going to need like sweatpants. You're going to be freezing. You're going to need a hoodie and sweatpants.
That's what I'm saying.
Now those lake jumps are going to make – like they're going to be so much more impressive now.
Re-enter the Wim Hof method. It would be funny
your morning
if, like,
lake jumps.
If it feels worse in July than it did in April.
It might. It's all contrast.
I've gotten very acclimated to the desert life. So, yeah, we'll find out soon.
Does the visor come north, or is that just a...
Dude, it's very Palm Springs to be wearing a white Titleist golf visor. And I wear it everywhere. Like, I bought it to golf, and then I was just like, you know what? I wear it every time I coach clients online, every time I go to the store. And it's just become a part of me. So, yeah, I do think it's coming up north.
Nice.
This is me now.
Yeah, like it. It's who I am.
Well, don't worry. When I finally make it over to the lake, I'll bring my visor.
Perfect. All right, Ted, you know how women will get, like, extensions?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be a crazy fad if – so, like, I remember at one point Matt was saying he had, like, tried Rogaine or something like that. Wouldn't it be a crazy fad if men started wearing the visors and it just had, like, a couple hairs in it, like around the edge of the visor, just to, like, make it, like, a little fuller, like not a full on head of hair, but just, like, it adds just a little bit of thickness.
I could wear it down here then. Go super low with it, cover up the receding hairline.
That'd be hilarious.
And I used to have one of those terrible visors with the fake hair on it.
I love those things, man.
I think I bought it years ago for, like, Meltdown, and, like, by the time the third person was like, what are you, like a 40-year-old dude, which I now am, I'm like, oh, I guess I don't want to be that guy. Now I'm like, I'm just going to wear it and be like, yeah, I got 3 kids. F*** off.
Dude, Ted, let me say this, man. This is something I love about you. You're a sucker for a great novelty hat. That giant – so I don't know if people have seen them, but the foam giant, like, 10-gallon cowboy hats that are super over the top. Ted rocked one of those at Burning Man, and people were loving it. Just eating it up. They thought he was from Texas. It was great.
I still, yeah, I know. I think it helped being around all the foreigners because they're just like,
you're one for two.
Great hats.
Texas Ted.
Big Texas Ted.
Yeah, that's right. It was like, we'd always say big, and then you pause, like, big Texas Ted.
Well, I had the giant hat, then I had the real cowboy hat, and then one morning I came out wearing an American flag bathing suit, and one of the Dutch dudes was just like, do they just give you that with the hat? And I go, yeah, it came with a gun, too. I mean, it's American. And he, like, looked at me. I was like, dude, I am just – I'm lying. Like, I bought it at Walmart.
God, that makes me think of this joke. And, like, okay, I want to say this. This is – I need to disclose. This is not my feelings. But this joke I heard from one of the PAs on this thing we were working on, he was born in Montana. And we were kind of talking about Montana. And he was like, you guys don't understand. When you're born in Montana, as you come out of the womb, you get a handgun and the deed to a trailer. It's like, Jesus.
All right, as long as we're talking about 4th of July, let's lighten it up. Let's talk about food. Now, to me, 4th of July, like you have a cookout or whatever. It feels pretty natural, though, to have like the standard like burgers, dogs, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think you go more exotic? Do you throw in the steaks and salmon like usual? Do you slow cook meat? I mean, I don't know. To me, I'm just like, 4th of July, you got to have a burger and just a plain-ass hot dog.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if you were talking about like this year or in general how I do it. I have one quick point of clarification. All right. So for people who don't know, you grew up in literally the blackest county in America. When you say cookout, is that the same as a barbecue, or are there technical differences?
Technical differences. So a cookout means we're going to grill some food up. It's going to be hot and fast. To me, technically, barbecue's got to be low and slow and will be done over, 8 to 12 hour period.
Okay. So a cookout, you're talking like burgers, dogs, watermelon, like potato salad.
Yeah. I mean, you could write like to me, and trust me, you know me, I'm very particular about it. I don't know that I have to be, but to me,
that's
like,
why you're the guy to ask.
Right. Like to me, a cookout, it's like, we're grilling. When people say, I'm going to invite you over for barbecue, I'm like, I didn't even know you smoked meat.
Dude, I like it. See, man, that's in some weird categories, you just are the go-to guy. Like, I never would have thought of that, but you're totally right. As far as foods, man, the 4th of July is one of the few days a year that I look forward to a hot dog, to be honest with you. I go classics all day. I mean, I'll drink light beer, eat Doritos, burger, dogs, and like I do all the 4th of July activities. I love that holiday. The park behind my parents' house, they have lawn games all day, so it's like, the whole neighborhood comes together for like egg tosses, three-legged race, kids doing a parade on their bikes. I mean, it is Americana, and frankly, I eat it up. I love it. So that's my move. Classic potato salad, American holiday. I don't deviate.
Dude, egg tosses are so fun. I totally forgot about that. At first,
egg
I thought
toss,
about
water balloon toss, three-legged race.
Yeah, tossing the egg. What a fun game. I got to bring that back.
That is a good game. And as you said that, I remember it was real serious when you were a kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Adults get involved, man. It's still serious up there. They have a trophy, Ted.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, I'm telling you, there's like 200 people at this thing. And there's like lines. Like there's like probably 70 teams playing. Like it gets real in the park.
Dude, when I was a kid, my brother Chris, right, he went to like – we all went to the same grade school, but he was a little bit older. So there was this family, the O'Donnells, right? And I can't remember if he went to school with Julie or Kelly. Either way. And like Kelly married like Craig Brogan, who's like a second cousin of mine. But the O'Donnells had this house in Beltsville, had an in-ground pool, which was fancy. And then their street was a little quieter. So the dad was a fireman for years and stuff. So they would always have a party like the weekend before 4th of July. You'd have a little parade with like fire trucks and stuff. But when I first started going, I was like, still in like high school and stuff. So I was a teenager. But as soon as you turned 18, you could join the greatest club of the whole parade, which is just guys smoking cigars. And it was all just all the random dudes that were there. Like they would just walk down the street in the parade smoking cigars. I remember, like the first year I got in, I might have only been 17. I was like, nice, a guy smoking a cigar now.
That's a confident walk behind a fire truck with a cigar.
I remember smoking cigars at 18, thinking I looked like so cool. And I bet if I could see a picture of myself at that, like, what a silly thing. Like, you're a kid smoking a cigar, man.
Like, yeah.
It feels so good. But if I could see a picture, I don't know how impressed I'd be with my 18-year-old self.
Dude, not only that, I remember like being like, we were smoking like basically cigars you generally would put weed in, like Phillies and Swishers. It's like Swisher sweets. These things are amazing. Lick your lips, dude.
Golden Mile. This thing's incredible. The flavor, man. The flavor. This thing's got to be from Cuba.
Now you got me fired up because you brought up watermelon. Like, yeah, watermelon's classic.
Uh-huh.
I'm thinking about making either a cold broccoli salad, which sounds healthy. It's not. It involves craisins, some bacon bits, broccoli, or an orzo salad.
Orzo.
I think it's an Italian or Spanish, like,
it looks like grain. Those little white grains.
Yeah, so it looks like rice, but I think technically it's a grain.
Yeah. Yeah, I think those are legit. Honestly, I'm a like three-layer Jell-O, like red, white, and blue guy.
Yeah.
That's my salad of choice.
Well, I was thinking about making a spinach dip, and I was like, we're going to be sitting outside the whole day. Is that time for a spinach dip in a bread bowl? I don't know.
Ted, has it ever failed you in the past?
It has not.
Also, man, I got to tell you on a quick side note, cast aside as friends, that mutual friend of ours who has that great birthday party where we were hanging out outside at her house, her birthday just happened, and I was so sad that party wasn't on.
Yeah, it did.
That was the first, like, canceled event of summer that hit me deep.
That birthday party is arguably one of the best events of the summer. I mean, as far as just, like, outside of festivals, it was always that, Big Hearts and Backpacks.
It's like the kickoff, man. And, like, that made me realize how much it's going to hurt as, like, main summer staples roll by that we can't participate in.
That's where we learned the term athleisure.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I want to say I brought over last year, we were drinking the Rainier Cherries.
Oh, yeah. Those were pretty good.
And on seltzer.
Honestly, we were thriving last year. That was great.
Yeah.
Great party.
Matt, what about you guys? What are you doing over there?
At the fourth?
Yeah.
I have no idea. I'm just going to be there in time, take it in, see what happens. We're getting a golf simulator put in the garage, and if that's there, that's probably going to be my whole day.
Nice, Mitch.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Are you going to buy a – like I remember for years the picture on your Twitter or whatever was like you with an arsenal of fireworks. Is that coming back or –
Oh, no, that was the 1 year my parents were not home for the 4th of July.
Oh, my bad. We can edit this out.
Oh, they don't listen. My dad was on the podcast and didn't listen back to it. I remember being like, you want to listen back while I edit? He's like, no, I don't care. I'm going watching TV. Like, I think we're clear.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that was my big thing. I was like, oh, man, like burgers, dogs, like classic. And then I realized I had that new grill. The first week I had it, I grilled a burger. And I'm like, look, I've had a burger in like a month now.
What's your favorite? I mean, obviously, there's a bunch of 4th of July foods, but like, what's the one that makes it for you where you're like, okay, we out here?
Dude, I'm with you. I think it just has to be a hot dog.
Regular.
That's what I'm saying, man. Just a dirty dog.
Yeah.
Not a sausage or whatever the other ones are called.
Yeah, not a brat, not a sausage, right? Yeah. And almost every other time, I'd go, let's cook brats and sausages and the good stuff. But, right, 4th of July is like, you just got to have dogs.
Just talk to me about that ballpark. Don't bring that bar-ass nonsense in here.
Do you guys
people who know will know what I'm talking about. What, Matt?
Do you put cheese on the dog?
Sorry, man, but you're right. I don't know how you can judge hot dogs with the bar-ass hot dogs. Suck!
Dude, yeah, I'm so happy that hit. I saw your face and I was like, I can't tell if he knows or he thinks I'm crazy right now. But yes, dude, the bar S hot dogs are just the lowest tier. I can't bring myself to get on that.
If you live in the city, it's like basically what they sell at the corner store. By the way, my corner store is so good, taco stand and everything. They have ballparks in there. And I was like, nice. Because those bar S, there's been too many a bad weekend where you're just like, oh, like a hot dog should taste cheap. But it shouldn't taste literally just like liquid fat and grease.
Dude, and look, anybody, if you're out there and you're listening and you eat Bar-S hot dogs, reach out to me. I will Venmo you $2 to upgrade you to ballpark dogs. That's a commitment.
I go fancy, man. Ballpark, all beef.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, I mean, you're living the life of luxury. I'm just, when it gets to Bar-S, man, that's tough times.
Sorry, Matt. What were you saying? That's just a great reference point.
I'm so happy that I hit.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had a bar S.
You probably haven't. Like, they disappoint every time.
But you're saying it's like it's throughout the Northwest or just in Seattle?
Matt, look, you grew up in a mansion on a lake. You haven't had them.
Okay, I didn't grow up there, but point taken.
There's no chance Mitch had those in the house growing up.
Dude, like, yes.
I didn't eat those growing up either. It's only when you live alone in a city that you're like, you know what? F*** it, man. I want some hot dogs. And then you bite into one. You go, nope.
Oh, dude, yes. Yes.
God damn, that's so much fun. By the way, if you're like me and you're bringing a side dish, just a shout out, BuzzFeed had a great, like, one of those lists that just like, hey, trying to make something easy for 4th of July as a side dish or a Jell-O-based dessert, here's 25 of them.
Ooh,
that's huge.
Yeah. What do I have on here? Oh, I almost forgot. Cobb, is there any public apologies or acknowledgments you would like to make on this episode of the podcast?
Jesus. Dude, you know, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this. But, Ted, now that you mention it, yes, there is. For people who don't closely follow the MMA world or my personal life, I've made some comments in the past that I'd like to take back. It was against a certain individual who, well, frankly, he's a professional at throwing hands. My personal sworn enemy, Julian Juicy J. Arosa, made it into the UFC and won with a really sick tap. Was that in the first round, Ted, do you know?
No, it was in the – so a little backup. He got called up for that fight on a Wednesday. The fight was Saturday night. He gets – look, Julian, not saying anything bad about you, but he kind of got – like touched up the first two rounds, and then halfway through the third round, he submitted that dude.
That's you. And was that fight in Florida? I know that's where they've been doing a lot of them now.
No, I think that one was in Vegas. They've been doing it in a warehouse in Vegas, and then the next main like pay per view is going to be on Fight Island, I believe.
Okay, because I was gonna. Oh, Fight Island is happening. Wait, hold on. I got to finish the Juicy J thing. So anyway, you know, I've been talking some limited, possibly not limited smack about the guy, but honestly, I'm pumped. It's so sick to see. A Northwest guy, get into the UFC. I believe he had gone up for one fight way earlier in his career and then got knocked back down. So it's really cool to see like that persistence take off. It's insane to take a fight on a Wednesday that's happening on Saturday against some guy you don't know. So, you know, he grabbed the opportunity. He took control of it. A lot of guys during COVID are probably sleeping on their training. He made weight. He came in. He got the job done. That's sick, man. You know, anything, look, you can still be mad at me, but anything I had against you in the past is quashed. I'm a Juicy J fan now. From here on out, he can officially beat the shit out of me or anybody I know. And so now I'm watching my back. He's a paid man. He's a made man. UFC. Pretty cool.
Right. So our boy Drew Brokenshire, like him and Juicy J used to have battles. So that was like where part of it came from. Not that we had a big beef with Julian, but Julian was on a season of The Ultimate Fighter. And then he had, I want to say, I think he was 2 out of 3 on his fights in the UFC, but they just didn't keep him. So, right, he was out of Yakima MMA with RIP, our buddy Rich Rich. They used to run that passed away last year. That was the other thing. It was kind of crazy to see the first fight I've seen Julian fight. His last fight was at Cage Fort as we had we were doing a thing for Rich. And it's just wild to see him in there. And I hope you guys, Matt, I'm sure you were watching it. You're the same way I am. To see somebody, number one, that we've talked about, but number two, we've watched fight in like local promotions at Cage Fort. This, I mean, I was in here going, you know, just freaking nuts.
Yeah. I was super stoked. Much like Cobb, although I don't have him as a sworn enemy. You know, I've been able to sit back during some of those heated, one-sided words. Yeah, to have seen him at that last fight at EQC.
That's right, I heard you were there.
Yeah. Nolan and I went out to that. And then, you know, just the history. Like, he's never been on our podcast. I've never met the guy. Cobb, I don't think you have either, right?
Damn it, Juicy. I'm sorry. I'm man enough to say when I was wrong. You're a great athlete. You deserve everything you get. No, I've never met him in person. And at this point, I hope not to.
He's a nice dude.
I know, but dude, he throws hands for a living, man. And what have I been doing? I've been running my mouth like a clown for 3 years.
Not only does he throw hands, but I mean, that dude was touching him up. I don't want to say he was getting his ass beat, but he ate some big punches. And then to come back and win, and the other guy was undefeated, it was like, holy cow.
Wow, the other guy was undefeated?
Yeah.
Like, dude, so that I like even more because it sounds like they brought Juicy J in as a stepping stone and he just said, nope, I'm ready to be here, which is really
100%.
Cool.
Yeah, Juicy J.
I love that.
And Chuck, nobody was happy he won that fight except people from Cage Sport and Yakima MMA.
I love that.
All right. Let's get to some emails.
All right. I'll pull them up. Just so you guys know, I can't see you while we're doing the emails, so any of your hand signs are worthless. Long overdue. Greetings to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
I've been listening to the podcast since the beginning and always enjoy listening to the advice, perspectives, and stories from each one of you guys. I have to tell you guys that I was greatly affected by the Year of the Hustle. So was I, bro. While listening to those episodes, my wife and I started a conversation about moving from Seattle to Colorado, as she had never lived outside of Western Washington. She was much more enthusiastic about the move, and I was a little apprehensive on my end. I'd be moving away from all my family and friends, and would have to make all new friends somewhere else. All in all, constantly listening to the greatest podcast in all the land. It kept me motivated and positive about the change. Listening to you guys talk about how you were all grinding away on your individual careers inspired me to grind away as well. Since being in Colorado, it has been incredibly beneficial to both of our careers and life overall. We're both making way more than we were in Washington and bought our first home on 4.5 acres. Keep the podcast going, and thank you for the laughs and inspiration. Colorado Jake.
Wow.
Nice.
Woo!
That's awesome.
I like those are the ones I love.
If your name's Jake and you listen to the podcast, you got to live somewhere besides Seattle, either Miami or Colorado.
And put that place in front of your name.
Right.
Dude, I like – those are my favorite emails, man. People have just been like ride or die since the beginning. We've like barely or never heard from. It's cool, man. I forget that things like the Year of the Hustle, like, you know, helped people out. I know it helped me and Matt and Ted, but yeah, that's just dope. I don't know. It makes me always feel more connected, you know. It's cool.
It seems like such a distant memory. Did we have a theme for 2020 established?
Survive.
Now it's survive. That's what I was saying.
Man, I am not sure. I'd have to actually go look at my notes at work, but I don't know. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if we did, it feels like that was forever ago, and I can't remember.
Oh, God. A lifetime ago, boys.
Yeah, it's insanity.
Ted, you'll like this one. Wanted to say how much I've been appreciating you guys talking about your love for the deluxe on Cap Hill. I grew up knowing the family that own it, and my parents are still their neighbors. They're awesome people with a lot of love for Seattle. To say they've been struggling to keep the doors open is an understatement, like most of the restaurants and bars, so I know any shout-out is very much appreciated. Thanks again for doing what you do. Much love, Chris and Ballard.
Yeah, and Chris, I'll tell you, man, last time I was talking about the wings, the BLTA, 100% in for it.
Love a good BLTA.
Yeah, and also, last podcast, Ted and I were saying, if there's a place in your neighborhood that you love, go there, because they might go out of business if you don't. And sure enough, Ted, do you want to say it or should I?
Just go ahead, man.
Ted's current go-to spot since he moved to the Hill, Bill's Off Broadway decided they were going to shut their doors. They couldn't make it work anymore. You know, that's a place Ted loved. He grabbed some to-go drinks from there. I mean, he was doing everything he could. So realistically, man, they're calling it a restaurant apocalypse. And that is not an overstatement. I mean, I have personally talked to at least 5 restaurant owners who are on the verge of closing, if not closing their doors. So if there's a place in your neighborhood or another neighborhood that's special to you, get out there and support them, man. For me, that's the Deluxe on Capitol Hill. That place is awesome. They bring it with the food and burgers. Get over there if you can. But, you know, whatever is important to you, they could use your help.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, man. If you're down in the Pioneer Square area, go to Sluggers or King Street or but it's the truth, man. If you have a place you like, again, even if you're not a drinker, just get some to-go food, give them a tip. Just at this point, you know, it's tough, right? Because there's so much social stuff going on. But at this point, too, like, we're still in an economic bad spot. So go support your local places, man. They need the help. And they're struggling. These are their life. Like, everything they put in, you know what I mean, as adults, has been building these places.
Ted, when I get back, are you down to go grab a drink at Slugs?
Cool. Know this.
Yeah, baby. Cool. Hell yeah. Greetings, gentlemen and occasional lady. None of my business, but why not formally introduce Matt's special friend, who's been sitting in on the cast since they fled to Palm Springs.
Matt?
Well, she's outside right now, so that's not happening now.
This is good.
Get to know Tyler, listen to our podcast, Gone Viral.
Yeah, because even as Cobb and I sit here as Matt's friends, I'm not sure like what their status is. So, Matt, do you want to address that?
I don't. I if I had something to address, I would. It's been very funny. Going this whole time, we just kind of refer to each other as co-hosts, and you know that entails a lot of things. But we're just having a good time. We started hanging out again. It was like, let's not worry about labels. And then we just kind of adopted the label of co-hosts. And now we've been living together down here for the past month. So, it's kind of wild. I don't really know what's going on. You know, 2020 is a insane year. And, you know, I'm just kind of embracing the uncertainty of it all.
Right. And
if
you listen to his podcast, I mean, right, like, they did date, like they dated for a while, so they're exes. So like that's why this is kind of awkward asking him about it.
Yeah. I mean, things are going great, but yeah, we're not officially together. I can tell you that much.
She contributes to the conversation, so might as well give her credit for being there. First time listeners who are flocking to the podcast for the hot COVID Chaz chop takes might think MCTP's other personality has a high pitched laugh. Just a thought.
I like the idea that people are flocking to this podcast. There's over all these people doing live content every night up in the chop. Like somebody sitting somewhere in America is like, no man, listen to the podcast. They keep me up to date.
I want the
real. Keep it real. They both live within a block. They know what's going on the ground level. Cop topic. Would you let a random? Yeah. I mean, Ted, my micro studio is a penthouse on the fourth floor. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know about that basement life. My place may be 10 feet by 12 feet, baby, but I got a view. Not really. They actually built a giant apartment building in front of my old view. Cobb topic. Would you let a random 24-hour period of your life be broadcast for $1 million after taxes? Oh, I forgot about that one. Dude, I threw out some wild-ass questions on here. Answer, damn right I would. With my wife and daughters relying on me financially, I could risk broadcasting a day. Would I have to knock some stuff off for that year? Absolutely. But it would be a good exercise in self-discipline for me. Well worth it for that sweet, sweet cheddar. This is all assuming that none of my family is on screen as well. Otherwise, no deal. Love you guys. Keep up the great work and stay safe. Ross W., Linwood, Washington.
What up, Ross? I still think the 24-hour day they picked for me is just a sad Sunday in the fall.
Well, and Ross, yeah, I hate to burst your bubble, but it's all parts of your life. It's whatever you're doing. So unless you're going to avoid them for a year, they're going to be on the Truman Show too. That's what makes it tough, man. It's all of your life, unadulterated, unscripted. They're going to catch you at your worst moment of the year. And they're going to show it to everyone in America.
And it's going to be popular, like Tiger King popular. all right, let's see here. We don't have anything huge coming up. Yeah, nothing to promote.
You're kidding.
We'll be back next week for sure. But for right now, let's check in with what's Mattman.
That was really funny, Cobb. I had another fun week down here. Mostly golf stuff and training clients online, doing that over I like doing it one-on-one over Zoom or Duo or whatever. It's just been really fun. Some people have been hitting some awesome milestones, so that's been great. I guess I should say I have availability if anyone else wants to hit me up. The other MLK on Instagram and Twitter. But
is that awkward for you as the trainer?
Doing it over Zoom?
Just because the person doing it is like physically doing it, so like it's good to hear your voice, but like the other day I was in the gym and I was like, whatever I was doing was close to the other office of the other trainer's shoes. And like, she was giving somebody and I was like, I almost think that one might be tougher on the trainer to stay focused.
So the trainer was in the office doing an online session?
Yeah, just one-on-one. So, like, I peeked in and I walked by, and I was like, oh, for the person doing it, this is intense. But, like, for the trainer, I don't, that would seem tougher.
There is a bit – I'd say there's some times where I think it's good because it keeps me a little bit more focused because of what you're talking about with that sort of – disconnect. I feel like I'm really hitting my stride with it and enjoying it. There is definitely, and it's because it's relatively the same thing at the gym when I'm like, cool, do some push-ups. Like, I'm just going to sit here and count to 10. And even then I might start talking about some random thing that I thought was funny or, you know, comment on your phone, on your form and lose count. I don't even count to 10 all that great all the time. Online, because there's that natural disconnect, like, it forces me to kind of like close that gap a little bit and stay a little bit more focused. Even if they're in all these people that I'm training, I've trained in person most of the time, most cases for years already. So they're, I've already got them, you know, dialed in on their form and stuff. They know what they're doing. So it's really not super intense for me, but I just stay a little bit more diligent with the back and forth, the communication. I'm more comfortable. Maybe it's because there's not other people around, like in the gym, but I'm like more comfortable reminding them of all the cues and all the things to think about. Because even a push-up, there's a lot going on there. Screw your hands into the floor. Keep your shoulders down, away from your ears. Keep your core and your glutes engaged. Feel your pecs, right? Like, there's a lot going on in just a simple push-up. But if I'm just constant, maybe I just feel weird constantly repeating myself. It's almost like condescending in a gym setting where people are already self-conscious. But so I fill the gaps with more like cues to just kind of eat up those awkward silences. And then, you know, but yeah, I'd say it's actually been really good for me to increase my engagement and focus on the task at hand, even though there's already a built-in like weird disconnect.
All right.
Other than that, oh man, I don't know if I want to talk about this. Well, whatever. Yeah. I might already be on a list down here, guys. I just went for a drive. Every country club down here has like very visible signs and like big security guard stations at the entrance with all the gates. And I went to this one. I was just driving down the street right by my house where I was like, I've never driven that way down that street. And I went and there's just like a four-way stop and I just kept going. And then like as soon as I got through the intersection, I got this feeling of like, I'm not supposed to be here. But there is no sign or gate or anything, and it's like the smallest security hut I've ever seen. And the guy just comes out like, can I help you? And I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to be here. And I was like, I think I was supposed to turn back there. I got a little turned around. He's like, yeah, go ahead. You can U-turn. And I'd heard about this place that my dad told me about that's this like super exclusive country club. And I looked online, there's houses in there that are on the market for $19 million, which is insane. And real estate's cheaper down here than in Seattle. So that's, it was nuts. And I just was like, I'm not supposed to be here. Like, I got to get out of here. And so, and I looked up some of the people that live there, but I don't want to like give everything away, but it's like people, you know, that it's like, holy smokes. So billionaires. And then I called our buddy that works in high level security. And I was like, dude, this just happened. It was so weird because it didn't have any gates or signs or anything. And he's like, you don't need gates. Like, there's levels of security. I was like, you think they already like ran my plates, like had facial recognition? And he's like, I wouldn't rule anything out. But yeah, just kind of like, oh, I'm going to go for a little drive and explore the neighborhood a little bit after playing around the golf. That was the other thing. I shot a 90 for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. If you don't play golf, like I took years to get under 100 And so, you know, and the pros shoot like 65s on the weekends. But, yeah, like golf is a crazy sport where you want to get a lower score. But I generally am like excited if I get under 100. Like I stay closer to 100. I'm more consistent now. But shooting at 90 was surreal. It was super rad. So, yeah, that's – it's been a great week down here, but I'm also excited to come home to the Northwest. Feel like summer's picking up. Feel like June was a good month to come down here.
Oh, it was a solid January.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing, so.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really give a crap. I mean, it was like 60-some out there today, but I was like, man, I slept like a champ last night. I get supposed to be back up to the mid-70s. I've already, like, found little portable, like, one-room air conditioners.
Oh, nice. So you got one?
I'm about to order one. I got a little backup on a few things. I'm trying to watch the expenses for a week or two.
Gotcha. it hasn't hit where it's, like, that first wave of summer hits and you can't find an AC anywhere to save your life.
Oh, no. We had like
every year.
That's what I'm saying.
We had a couple 80 degree days, but maybe like two or three of the entire month.
I would posit the average Seattle household owns 9 fans plus or minus 1.
Yeah. I keep a box fan in my living room and then a little one in my bedroom all the time.
Yeah. And that's an apartment. So think about a suburban household.
Yeah.
Oh, one other thing. I almost shit my pants the other morning at breakfast. It was a real close call. Closest I've had as an adult. But
you're not a boozer, so like what gave you the runs?
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. The day before I ate healthy. I had a couple cups of coffee, but like I drink coffee every day. That's not abnormal. And we were out at breakfast, right? And I've been living quarantine up. I've been going commando every single day. So there was no underwear. There was no backup shorts. And I was like, oh, I just got to go take a leak. And I was standing there. Now, luckily, it's a single occupancy bathroom. There's no urinal. You're just peeing into a toilet. Because if it was like a dude's bathroom where there's like a urinal and then a stall that you have to go around into – I wouldn't have made it. It was that quick. I had no warning. I was taking a leak. I was like, oh, got a fart. And it was like, no, you don't. And I didn't even think. My body just instinctively, like my cheeks clenched. I 180, pants all the way down. I was on the toilet. Just, it was such a narrow aversion of complete crisis that I'm like proud of myself. But it's also like, I don't know. It's a little weird to talk about, but like that's what this cast is all about. So I wanted to let you guys know. But that was a big, big moment in the week. I knew I was forgetting something.
Well, that's why I never go commando till after 8:30 at night.
Sounds like a good life rule.
Seriously. All right. Well, if everybody's got their underwear on, maybe it's about time. About that time.
It is wild to think you're always living that close to the edge. Like that could happen at any point, you know?
Never know.
I hear you. So this cop topic is, I mean, look, we keep it real on this cast. This is just a straight information grab from listeners. So this week, so I mentioned that I'm down in Park City, Utah. I got to go downhill mountain biking, which if you haven't done, highly recommend. Super cool. It was rad. It was like probably, I think it was like an 8-mile ride. 4 of that was just like bombing down ski runs. So it was really cool. And but anyway, before I went, one of the guys was like, hey, there's this app that shows all the trails and stuff. You need to download it to make sure, you know, you don't get lost. It's called Trail Forks. Great app. But anyway, that's not the point of this. The cop topic this week is, what is a useful but not very popular app that you know about? Let us know. Email at thepodcast.com. I'm just looking for cool apps that maybe I haven't heard of or that, like, I don't know. People just come in interaction with different things. So what is a useful but not very popular app? Email us, email at thepodcast.com. Boys, you got anything? Pull out your phone, Ted.
I mean, I check my weather.com app probably 8 times a day.
That's pretty good. Yeah, my barber was all about one called like AccuWeather.
AccuWeather is good, but I feel like after 3 days, their long-term forecast gets a little shaky, whereas like the weather.com app, like their 5 to 10 day forecast is pretty strong. And I also trust the radar better. I'm a weather.
I knew you'd have an opinion. Weather.com it is. I'm sold. Matt?
The one that comes.
Don't say to Grindr.
I would say it's pretty popular these days, but the one that I use most that like isn't one of the well-known ones, but it's big in the space is 10% Happier. It's a meditation
app. Never heard of it.
It's a meditation app that I really like. I've experimented with a bunch of them. And they've got really good teachers, and it's run by Dan Harris, who was on ABC News and wrote a book called 10% Happier. And he has a podcast called 10% Happier. It's all about like meditation, mindfulness, all that sort of stuff. And the app just has these awesome guided meditations.
How much is this going to cost me?
Huh? It's free. It's free at first, but it's $100 a year.
Oh, well, I just tried to download. It says it's free.
It's free to download, and then I think you get a free trial or something, but you got to – when you – to become a, like, member, it's, like, $100 a year, I think. And I think it's worth it. Like, I don't know. Meditation is just an important thing that I've found in life, and I like having a guide. Occasionally I'll go unguided, but – I like that there's a lot of different teachers, a lot of different topics. The way it's all laid out is super smooth, and yeah, it's I think it's seen a surge in popularity since 2020 started because it's a good year to brush up on your meditation practice.
Yeah, I have a question. Oh, go ahead, Matt. Or go ahead, Ted.
I was just going to say I don't know if it's an app. But I know it's a website. If you live in the Seattle area, Western Washington, look up Hiking with My Brother.
What's that?
It's a dude and his brother, and they just go out like to every hike you can imagine in Western Washington. And they have it like section by section, like easy, moderate, hard, like what you'll see or whatever. And they give like – it's just like two dudes. It's a dude hiking with his brother, and they just give you like real reviews. Like I swear by it, man.
I thought I heard about that from you on this podcast.
That wouldn't be surprising.
Okay, because it sounds familiar.
Wow, they have hit a lot of hikes. I'm glancing at it now. Matt, with that app, I have a specific question. So I do a lot of guided meditations too, but I just pull like random ones off YouTube. I don't know if you've done any of that. And what's kind of the compare, contrast, or difference? Like you obviously feel like it's worth it to pay. Tell me why. I'm open.
In my YouTube things, like I never found – like I don't know that I want to listen to the same person all the time, and I just never it was just very convoluted and a lot to sort through. I mean, it's a lot like, you know, why people buy exercise programs when there's a million free things on YouTube, because it's like so oversaturated that it's tough to sift through. And so yeah, I found a few here and there through YouTube, but I kind of like knowing, and I'm sure there's great channels out there or whatever, not to say it doesn't exist, I just never found it and like latched on to anything in YouTube. So 10% Happier, you know, I think they have like 15 or so of the top like meditation teachers, and you know, you can pick by them, you can pick by the topic, and it's just really nicely sorted out. And like, to get myself, I need to remove as many barriers between me and meditation as possible, which is, it says a lot about me, because like I will willingly like just rifle through all the categories and explore all the things when it comes to porn. But when it comes to guided meditation, Like, I will pay for the premium experience to just get it, like, streamlined and laid out in a nice user-friendly experience, and not have to sort through all the noise. So it's just, like, it's quick, it's easy. I know the teachers I like, I trust them, and, you know, yeah, the way it's sorted out by topic is really nice sometimes, too. If I got something specific I want to, like, go, you know, think over or not think over, and address.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think there's a lot of things in life that are like that. Like, at a certain point, you know, like you're saying, you want it streamlined and ready for you. Like, if there's something you're not the best at and there's like a way to kind of help, like, just, I'm a fan of, like, just use the tool.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, it's something that I definitely have a lot of stupid, dumb, unnecessary expenses that I allow into my life, but that is certainly something that I view more as an investment in myself, and, you know, my mental health and just kind of having it there for me. Even if I don't use it every day, I go weeks without it occasionally, but it's nice to just know that I've got it there. I like a lot of the teachers, and now that I'm familiar with it, it's like, I'm not going anywhere.
Nice. All right. Yeah, we'll send in your recommendations too, because we need help on extra apps.
I had a feeling that one might piss you off. I don't know, man. Who knows? We might get like the next, like, yeah, something incredible could come out of the woodwork.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, we have a resource of people that listen. Let's use them. Kyle, is there anything new going on with you guys down in the market?
So Pike Place Market itself is cautiously starting to reopen. Traffic is pretty low. I would say it's probably about 20% of normal for this time of year. Actually, a little bit less than that, probably 10% of normal. Cruises are stopped until September. I would say about, when I was there, about 50% of the businesses were open. Shade below that, 40% of the businesses were open. Let's see. I think things are supposed to be opening back up over the next couple of weeks. I would say it's a decent time to go down there on a weekend, just because you don't have to deal with the crowds that you usually do, especially if you want, you know, to hit some of my favorite places like Storyville Coffee, Beecher's Cheese, Le Pinier. So that's about it for us. We're just open on Saturdays right now, which is working fine for us. We're not going to be open this Saturday because it's 4th of July. But yeah, I think it seems like, you know, I think people are staying at home this summer. So I think it's going to be mostly a lost summer for a lot of the retailers down there.
Well, Cobb didn't know I was going to bring this up, and I don't think I've seen you since you hooked me up. But, like, the brown butter at Cobb's is delicious. Like, unbelievable. But
oh, man, thanks, man.
Your cheddar, God damn, it was good.
Oh, nice. Was it the regular cheddar that you had or the other one?
It was the regular cheddar, and then the other friend that got brought up earlier with Matt that might know about security, we thoroughly enjoyed the jalapeno one, too.
I've become a white cheddar jalapeno guy, man. I don't know why, but that flavor just hits for me.
Yeah, and trust me, anybody listening, I'm not just gassing Cobb up. Like, that cheddar was so good, man. It did. Look, you know me, full disclosure. I don't think that bag made it 2 hours.
Dude, thanks, man. I appreciate that. We do our best down there.
All right, everybody. Go out. Enjoy the holiday weekend. You know, do it safely. Do it whatever accordance to your state. And you know what? At the end of the day, just eat a damn hot dog, man.
Let's go.
Eat a hot dog. All right. For MCTP, for Cobb, and me, Ted Smith, this is the podcast. Cheers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station today on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.